This episode of IREM Today is brought to you by ARS Restoration, here when you need expert help with fire, flood, and water damage repair the most. To consult with ARS Restoration Specialists, please call 401-722-9595 or visit them online at arsserve.com.
The following paid program is furnished by the Institute of Real Estate Management, Rhode Island Chapter 88. It is for basic entertainment and informational purposes only and is solely responsible for its content. It does not necessarily reflect the views of Cumulus Media, its management, or its staff.
Now on AM 790, it's time for IREM Today, the property management show with hosts Dina Cimarelli and Chrissy Denalian. Join them now for this live call-in show to discuss property management issues and hear from guests from all trades and programs discussing your real estate needs. Here's your hosts, Dina and Chrissy.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to IREM Today, the property management show here on AM 790. Today is December 5th. 2017, and it is 4:06 p.m. I'm Chris Denalian in studio today with my guest co-host, Jason Martins. Welcome back.
Wow.
Oh, we've missed you so.
I believe it.
My poor little Dina, she can't be here today. But maybe we'll see her later today for the installation dinner.
Oh, that'd be terrific. Looking forward to that.
We also have Jack Benson studio.
Whoa, now talk about celebrity.
I mean, we rolled out the red carpet for him.
I tripped on it on the way in.
You got all the big guns in here today, boy.
I know. Wow. I needed major backup, I guess.
You got to do what you got to do.
I just needed my handheld for this whole time.
I can almost feel the ratings going up. It's unbelievable.
I'm telling you, it's unbelievable. From a 5 to a 95.
It's unbelievable.
And we actually, in case you're tuning into us for the first time and you were wondering, what is IREM? IREM is your live local radio show here every Tuesday from 4 to 5 p.m. And we know that there's a lot of fun syndicated programs on the radio station. However, we're not syndicated. So you can call us here live in the studio at 401-437-5000 or 888-345-0790.
Love to hear from you.
And IREM stands for the Institute of Real Estate Management, the most professional group in the country for managing real estate. And we actually have Brett Smiley that has called in. He already called in. I know you're very excited.
Brett, yes. Are you there?
I'm here.
Brett, thank you for coming. Coming on. Really great.
I enjoyed this very much last year. It's nice to be back.
Well, thank you for being here again. There's so many subjects to cover, and I don't know from my standpoint, Christy and Jason obviously have their little questions, but I always lay out a whole bunch of questions, especially for a gentleman like yourself and being the chief of staff to our governor.
He has a whole list over here.
I have a whole list, and she says, please.
I hope we have time for all of them.
Yeah, there's some good and some bad, obviously, Brett. And the good, I think, is the age-old cliche, cranes in the sky. I mean, I've seen so many cranes in the sky coming in. I like to think I'm almost either in Denver or in Phoenix. And I think that's contributed to the governor's success over the last couple of years since she's been in office. You want to elaborate a little bit on what's in the state, coming into the state, as well as not only the cranes, but what's coming into the state with new businesses?
That's great. Yeah, I appreciate that. It is. It's exciting. We feel like we know we're doing something right when people are now complaining about the construction and the lines at the airport. The success that the governor has had in attracting new businesses and supporting local businesses to grow, in addition to all the work that we're doing to rebuild our roads and bridges in Rhode Island, and the addition of half a dozen new airlines and twice as many new flights in and out of TF Green, have really been a great shot to the arm for Rhode Island and for its economy. Just last week, we announced that Infosys, which is a global company, is bringing 500 jobs to Rhode Island, to Providence. Not too long before that, we announced that Virgin Pulse is relocating its headquarters, which was a really terrific story. Some people may be familiar with the company ShapeUp, which was a homegrown Rhode Island business in the wellness space. And they were bought out by Richard Branson's Virgin Group. The headquarters was in Massachusetts, and we were very, very much afraid we were going to lose them. About a year ago, we announced that we weren't going to lose them, that ShapeUp, the division, was going to stay here. they had such a positive experience that the mothership, the headquarters up in Massachusetts, decided it wanted to relocate to Providence, and so we were able to make that announcement a couple weeks ago. There's a lot of really good things happening, and I can say there's some other good things in the pipeline. So we know we've got a lot of work to do. We're certainly not waving the victory flag, but there's been some great success thus far, and we're going to keep at it.
Is there any problem? I read in the paper, I think, that there was a shakeup in that new company that is proposing to bring in the 500 jobs over the last 10 years. Is that going to have any effect on what the proposal was relative to the $10 million that they gave them? And understanding they're not going to get anything until they bring the 500 jobs in, but is there any possibility of some kind of a shakeout because of the replacement of the president for that company?
We're not expecting that to impact the decision at all. We were frankly aware that there was a leadership change coming before the announcement, and they were too, and they went ahead with the announcement anyway because this is part of their global expansion plans, irrespective of who the CEO was. And I'm glad you mentioned that last bit, Jack, because when Governor Raimondo took office, we totally changed the toolbox over at what used to be EDC, now the Commerce Corporation. And our incentives, you know, there's a lot of press about our incentives. Our incentives are structured in a way such that nobody gets a penny of state tax dollar until the job's been created, the building's been built, or so on and so forth. And so in the case of Infosys, they are going to get money out of what we call our job development fund. And so that's a portion of the payroll taxes that the new job pays gets returned to the company. And so we don't expect this to happen, but if there were ever a company who was awarded an incentive but then didn't go through with their commitment, they'll never receive a penny of subsidy. And so when it comes to Infosys, we believe it's full steam ahead. We knew about that leadership change, or we didn't know who, but we knew there was going to be a leadership change. And the state's tax investment is entirely protected.
Are they responsible for the training? If I read that right, they were supposed to be responsible for the training also?
Yeah, it's a mix of who they're going to hire, but one of the things that's really exciting about them is even though these are kind of tech jobs, broadly defined, they have their own internal training program. And so in other installations around the country, they've taken students right out of community college or out of the workforce who are mid-career perhaps that don't have an information technology or computer science background, and they'll take them and train them themselves. And so for Rhode Island, where we still have work to be done and in terms of upskilling our residents, making sure that more Rhode Islanders have more current skills, it's great in that this company takes that training on themselves at their own expense to train workers to get those jobs.
I understand. Now, that's a good. What about the unknown, the Superman building? What is going on with the Superman building? I come in every day going by that building, and it is becoming to look to me as being an eyesore sooner or later. So I know Joe Paolino's been looking at it, the mayor's been looking at it, the governor. Has she abandoned that, or is still in the works, or still looking for somebody to take over the whole building, partial?
Yeah, it's certainly not abandoned from the Commerce Corporation or the governor's office perspective. I can see it out my office window as well. I talked earlier about how we totally revamped and retooled our economic development incentives when the governor took office. Unfortunately, that applies to this circumstance too, which is that it is a priority for us to fill that building with productive use, but we don't feel like it's in the best interest of taxpayers to subsidize the redevelopment of it until we know what it's going to be used for. So the Commerce team has been working very hard to work with the developer to find tenants or a productive use that will be a benefit to the state and to the city. But we're sensitive to and not going to subsidize the redevelopment of that to the benefit of the developer without a user, an end user, a tenant, an owner at the end of the day. So we're working very hard. We're working very closely with them. But unfortunately, it's going to require there to be a match made in terms of having a productive use as well.
Okay, Brett. Actually, I know that Jack is chomping at the bit over here, and he really wants to. He has so many more questions for you. Would you be able to stay on for another few minutes for our next segment?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, you're listening to Irem Today, the Property Management Show. We'll be right back after this.
Back to Irem Today, the Property Management Show, with your hosts, Dina Cimarelli and Chrissy Denalian on AM 790, your station for talk and business.
All right. It is 4:18 here on Irem Today, the Property Management Show. I'm Chrissy Denalian, along with my guest co-host Jason Martins. And I also have Jack Bence in studio with right the red on. Carpet over here.
Right on. Hey, here we go. Right we're back in business.
We're back in business.
Back in business.
We also have Brett Smiley still holding for us. And I know that Jason actually has a question for you
as
well.
Took on a tech one of my questions. But that's okay, Jason. Live in Pawtucket.
I grew up in Pawtucket. I remember going to the Paw Sox for many, many years. And
I thought you played
for
them.
Jeez, I wonder what your question could be about.
Yeah, I wonder. I'm curious.
I've been on the air many times arguing with people and whatever, about the viability of a minor league baseball team in Rhode Island, and in my opinion, having something like this, a professional ball club, a modern up to date stadium, be it a shiny object and whatever the risk is for the people of the state, I think it's a worthwhile investment for our state. We need to have something. If we don't have if we don't have a new stadium, a ball club, something that attracts people to our state, what do we have?
And so Brett, you got two votes here, Brett.
So I've always been, and I've been on the air, I'm on record as saying that I'm a big proponent, whatever it costs, to make sure we can get a stadium done, make sure we keep the Paw Sox here, not just in Rhode Island, but in Pawtucket. It'd be even better to keep them in Pawtucket. So, Brett, my question to you is regarding this the report that came out yesterday where Dennis Hoyle and Jesse Saglio took a look at the financials of the Paw Sox, and they determined that the Paw Sox are a stable business and they'll be able to pay off any hold up their financial obligations to the new stadium. So does that influence the governor's position on her support or non support of the stadium, and where do you see that taking us with this new story that came out yesterday?
Sure. Thanks, Jason. Yeah, the governor has directed it's been almost a year now, her team over at Commerce to work with the city of Pawtucket and the team to negotiate the best deal possible for Rhode Island taxpayers, and is satisfied that the deal that's on the table adequately protects the taxpayers and will keep the team in Pawtucket and allow it to be not just a continued recreational activity that's beloved by Rhode Islanders, but also an opportunity for a real shot in the arm for redevelopment and economic development in the city of Pawtucket. And so the letters that came out yesterday are great, and we think a step in the right direction. But the governor has been broadly supportive of this deal and thinks that it does adequately protect Rhode Island taxpayers and is an opportunity to provide a real boost to the revitalization of Pawtucket. And so the ball is back in the legislature's court, and so we are waiting for them to take the next step. Both the Senate and the House would need to pass the bill or make any amendments if that's the route that they're going. But the deal that was put forward was done so with the governor's support, and we hope it moves forward.
But, Brett, I read an article in this morning's paper, I believe it was, or yesterday morning's paper, that Governor Baker has indicated to the Worcester delegation that he is more than willing, whatever more than willing means, to support the team if it came to Worcester. So, and we're not going to be meeting until January. I don't know if the current owners of the Pawtucket Red Sox are going to wait for a haggling all the way through until July or June. Before we get a vote, or do you think there's going to be a vote sooner than later so we don't have to have the possibility of them actually leaving?
Yeah, I really don't know when the legislature is planning on voting it. I read the same report that you did, and we certainly would not like to see the team leave for Worcester. And so I hope that they take action on it sooner rather than later. I will say that the governor has, as I said, been supportive of the team staying, has been supportive of this deal because we think it's good for Pawtucket and good for Rhode Island. You know, there is there may be other jurisdictions that are going to offer more generous terms. We think the ownership team, which are comprised of mostly Rhode Islanders, will hopefully remember their civic pride and keep the team here in Rhode Island and recognize the fact that we've spent a year negotiating a deal that we think is very fair to taxpayers and frankly one of the better deals in the country as these stadium deals go. And so I hope it's long enough, and I hope that they take action soon.
And another subject, which is a dicey one, is what's going on in Washington relative to the tax programs. All right, and looking at what's coming out of Washington, if anybody can figure it out, God bless you. But obviously it's going to have a definite impact on the state with regard to Medicaid, Medicare, and some of the other programs that are going on in the state. I don't know whether I understand it, what they're going to, relative to interest rates on homes, all right, and it's going to be deductible, there's going to be AMI, how is that going to affect investors? How is that going to affect affordable housing? There's so many unknowns. What are you guys getting out of this, just looking at it from Rhode Island down to Washington and trying to figure out what you're going to do relative to the budget?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a year. It's kind of wild to think about that it hasn't actually been even a whole year.
No, it hasn't.
And, you know, we've spent a year of trying to figure out what's going to happen. We spent a lot of time doing contingency planning with respect to the Affordable Care Act, which would have a major impact, not just on the state budget, but just on Rhode Islanders. The tax plan is the same where, you know, Democratic members of the Senate and the House had not seen the bill before it was voted. And so it's hard for us to be adequately prepared when, you know, our representatives aren't even seeing things. And so we are very concerned the issues that you flagged, Jack, the deductibility of state and local taxes, the mortgage interest deduction, the potential to strip away the tax-exempt status of private activity bonds, which could really impact your business and the real estate market, and particularly when it comes to things like tax-exempt financing for affordable housing. We all of the healthcare changes have a major impact on Rhode Islanders, and so we have been working very hard throughout the year to stay in touch with our congressional delegation, who are fabulous and do the best they can to keep us in the loop as best as they know. But honestly, we're just living in an uncertain time, and so we're trying to do appropriate and responsible contingency planning, but nobody really knows what's going to come out until it's all over. And so we're certainly working through all of the possible angles. I mean, I will say, going back to the healthcare fight a little bit, the governor has worked very hard. There's only 14 Democratic governors in the country, so a majority of the governors are Republican. She's been working very hard with her Republican governor colleagues because we think that they can be a very powerful voice in lobbying their members of their congressional delegations, because governors have to balance budgets and have to manage government in a way different than Congress does. And so even the Republican governors have been fighting against many of these changes because it's going to go blow holes in their budgets as well. And so one of the ways in which the governor has been effective this year is by working her personal relationships with her colleagues on the other side of the aisle, but as other governors, to help the Congress understand what the impact is going to be on state budgets of this, whereas, you know, our congressional delegation is there with us 100%. It's fantastic to be able to count on that support. But these Republican governors have a chance to really make an impact with their Republican senators and House members.
One of the other good items that come out in the last, well, had good and bad. I say good. It was kind of an interesting thing with the DMV, where they had this $250, fine if you didn't get your car registered, not registered, but inspected. And then there was a controversy relative to some people couldn't afford it, and the governor reacted relatively quick along with the Speaker of the House. That's what happens, I guess, when you upgrade your systems to do the things that it's supposed to do.
Right.
And then everybody figures out, geez, I didn't really like that. And when the legislature proposed that back 5-10 years ago, and the registry could never, ever catch up, so they never went along with going out and getting and charging the people $250. Now it becomes law. It was law, but they never did it. So how did that affect you guys up there? Obviously, there's a lot of controversy whether or not we should do it, shouldn't do it.
Yeah, we've got so many antiquated systems in the state, and the DMV was the perfect example of one that was built on a system that didn't even accommodate mouses. And so you had DMV employees, and everything was kind of, you know, the green and black screen, the whole thing. And so there had been regulations that were on the books but that were not able to be implemented under the old system. We started enforcing them. Suddenly people realized, as you say, that this maybe is onerous. And so the legislature asked us to pause the execution of that fee until they revisited in the session. We were happy to oblige. We're not looking to penalize or be punitive to unnecessarily to Rhode Island drivers. We don't want unsafe cars on the roads either, but you know, but this was a law that they had passed years ago. And so you know, that's the kind of, you know, there are, you read stories sometimes about occasional squabbling up at the State House, but the reality is we're all able to work together. We are all working hard to do right by Rhode Islanders, to try to make their lives better, to offer the kind of basic...
But just a suggestion, yeah. The guy that Massachusetts has a great system, I think, where when somebody comes in who's ever doing the inspection, it goes to a central system, all right, so they can't mess over somebody and charge them more than what should be charged to fix what's got to be supposed to be fixed. And I don't know how the system works, but it seems to be working okay. And I don't think they have the magnitude of the fine that you have in Rhode Island, $250.
Yeah.
I think somehow, some way, the legislature's got to go back and the governor's got to go back and look at that, because $250 to a lot of people is putting food on the table.
Oh yeah, no,
for
that
a good
we know
period
that.
Of time.
And this new system at DMV, I mean, it's the and it, you and me that shows up at the DMV is really not going to see much of a difference on this version.
Mm-hmm.
But what it really gave us was a modern platform with which we can build some new conveniences and new applications and things for dealers and for inspectors and for consumers that over the next year, two, and three, you'll start to see some real improvements in terms of ease of use and convenience. Because now we've got a modern platform from which to build.
Excellent, excellent. Well, that's interesting. So,
do we have time for one more
Christine?
Quick question?
Yeah, do we?
Go ahead.
Brad, just in talking about Massachusetts, and this is just a random question that has been talked about in this state for decades. But what do we have to do in our state to make us more competitive with Massachusetts and get more people shopping here instead of going over the border constantly? I mean, our gas taxes are higher in Rhode Island, so people buy gas in Massachusetts. I know our sales tax is,
7%.
Slightly
yep.
higher maybe.
Yep.
But, I mean, just in terms of turning things around and getting people back into our state to do their shopping, to make us more competitive, make us not just competitive, but more attractive to other states. What about things like, taking over like New Hampshire does with the liquor sales and things like that. Any talk about that? I mean, this is stuff we've been talking about in this state for decades.
Yeah.
But has any of that happened with this administration?
Yeah, we've made progress. We've still got more work to do, Jason, to be mm-hmm. sure. But I can tell you where we are in the season right now. We're literally putting together the budget right now for next year. And when we look at places to cut, and when we look at fees that are being revisited, I can tell you that we benchmark. We always look at the region, and we always look at Massachusetts, and we're hyper aware of how does this make us compare to Massachusetts, and that is always a data point that we consider. And we've made some progress. We've started to phase out the car tax, and we know that that's an area by which we are not competitive with our neighbor to the north. We have been reducing the corporate minimum tax. We've mm-hmm. eliminated the commercial tax on energy consumption.
That was big.
That's put millions back in the pockets of Rhode Island businesses. We've been able to reduce the unemployment tax rate. We have always been sensitive with things like cigarette prices mm-hmm. and alcohol taxes to always be cognizant of and hopefully never above Massachusetts.
Yeah.
And so we're very sensitive to that. We're always benchmarking against it. And I think we've made some progress in some area, but we know we've got more work to do.
And just again, to wrap up, it's like competitive is one thing, but straight out beating them is another thing. I think maybe that the mentality needs to change a little bit. I'm not just talking about the administration, but in the state in general, that enough with being competitive with people. We need to just straight out beat them and find out ways to beat, because we're such a small state, there's no reason why we can't be beating our Massachusetts in any of these games. But that's just, I know we got to take a break.
One item we didn't talk about was permitting. Just put that in the back of your mind. Brett, next time you come on.
Do you have any time to stay on, or do you need to leave?
I'm afraid I do need to go, although Jack knows how to get me, and I'm happy to come back again. I always enjoy talking to you guys.
Thank you very much for coming on. We really appreciate it.
Have a great holiday.
All right, let's take a quick break. You're listening to Irem Today, the Property Management Show. We'll be right back after this.
Now back to Irem Today, the Property Management Show, with your hosts, Dina Semirelli and Chrissy Denalian on AM 790, your station for talk and business.
All right, it is 4:37 here on Irem Today, the Property Management Show. I'm Chris Denalian, along with my guest co-host, Jason Martins. We also have Jack Batson in studio. He's going to stick with us for a little while, right, Jack?
At least 10 minutes, because I like you guys.
At least 10 minutes. Thanks. Thanks for fitting us onto your schedule. I really appreciate it, Jack.
Happy wife, happy life, let me tell you. I love you guys, but...
I know. The wife comes first.
Is Linda going to the dinner tonight?
Yes, she's going to be there. See, because if I don't show up in a little while, she ain't going to like you guys. And I don't want that. I think you guys are great.
I appreciate that.
That's no problem. Right, Chrissy?
Yes. And tonight, what we were referring to is actually going to be our installation dinner. And it's closed right now because I think they... probably sold out. It usually sells out, I feel like, those tickets. And it's going to be at Tavolo Wine Bar and Tuscan Grill in Smithfield. And it's going to be our installation dinner, which Jason Martins is going to be part of.
Yes, that's right. Being reinstalled as treasurer for another year. Oh, I fooled him again.
You fooled him again.
Such a little hard
Jason,
worker over there.
You're doing okay. You got it down pretty good for the last 4 years.
So we're actually President Carrie Corvino, who has been in the studio a couple of times this year, actually.
Great.
She's getting reinstalled, and so is Holly Rigoli, who was on last week, I believe. She's going to be our vice president, treasurer Jason Martins, and secretary Jason Palermo, who was on probably in the springtime, I would guess. Yeah. He was on a little earlier before we went for our break. And all of the ARMs and CPM candidates are going to be installed as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sounds great. Like a big night.
Tell you, we made some big changes this year in the with Irem. Big changes, but we've changed a lot of things, modernized some things, had a terrific charity
dedication?
This year.
Yeah,
did
dedication,
you see that?
Yeah.
I was not there, but I did hear it.
How much did you raise?
I don't know. It was almost $3,000.
Oh, that's good.
We built a computer lab at a building in Providence for veterans.
Very good.
Yeah, it was one of the really nice thing we did. We had a big dedication. It was really good, great turnout.
Great.
Really nice.
Yeah, I saw the pictures. They looked really. We talked about it on the show a little bit. I know Carrie had talked about it too, and it was a wonderful event from what I heard, and it was a wonderful charity.
It was.
So
speaking of,
you guys do great things. We all do great things.
Yeah, and charity tonight, technically. We're giving Toys for Tots. I hope you guys brought your toys for tonight. Maybe?
Yes.
Stopping at the store before?
There's a Target on the way.
I got a great little doll I'm going to bring. It's wonderful.
Jack. Linda always handles it.
Jack, what do you make of this tax bill, the Senate, the House and Senate tax bill?
There are so many loopholes in this. Right now, I don't believe that anybody that has anything to do with this knows exactly... what's going to come out of it. And I might pick up on...
Then why are they doing it?
Wait. I might pick up on one thing, all right, that Brett said, which I'd go either way relative to we need it, we don't need it, depending on what comes out of it. But when people on the other side, when I say the other side, the Democrats, there's Republicans in now, if you recall the health bill...
Yep.
And Nancy Pelosi said that you got to pass it...
That's true.
Before you read it. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Democrats are saying the same thing on this side. This is so disgusting in my mind that we can't get our politicians, because from my standpoint, I've said this a million times, we don't have statesmen anymore. We have politicians.
Yeah.
The politicians, all they're worried about is getting elected the next time. We're on the radio now, and I might get killed for this, but I really don't care because I think that our congressional delegation has got to learn to get along, and the other side has to get along, and they have to reach some kind of a compromise, because we're going to be in this doghouse for the next 20 years unless we all learn how to get along. And it's affecting everybody in the spectrum, from the 1%ers down to the poor guy in the street that's living in poverty. I mean, it is so absolutely ridiculous that it's pathetic.
You know, it's interesting.
I grew up on a tirade.
No, it's interesting. When the Democrats in Congress, when there's a bill or an issue or whatever, they always stick together.
Absolutely right.
Republicans have got their little faction. Now, wait a minute. Little faction that will go either way. I mean, they lost on some bills already this year. They lost on the health care and maybe a couple other things I can't recall. Immigration. But, you know, they've always got a member of their party that can go either way, you know, can be persuaded either way. Democrats always stick together. Now,
I can see
where that's a good thing. However, maybe it's a bad thing. Maybe you need some people in your party that can, you know, are flexible, because how else are you supposed to get things done? You can't vote on everything down party lines. Is that how do we have effective government if every vote is down party lines? I mean, there's got to
exactly
be
exactly where I'm going.
Exactly. That's what I'm talking about.
They call it bipartisanship. I think they should rip it out of the dictionary, because it doesn't make any damn sense.
I see on television these talking heads on television saying, "Oh boy, those Democrats, give it to them, give them credit. They always stick together." Well,
that's not right.
How is that a positive?
Insanity.
How do we get things done? I mean, what if there are actually some members of the Democrat Party that maybe don't always agree and they want to vote the other way, but they can't because they'll get ostracized in their party.
They will be ostracized in their party because Nancy Pelosi controls the purse strings.
Right. So
good, bad, or indifferent.
You know,
that's the deal.
Maybe this whole partisan thing isn't working out. I mean, maybe that's the issue. And so I don't know. But you're right. I mean, it is funny. I laugh now when I see the Democrats now complaining that the Republicans they're passing this bill without even reading it. Well, you did the same thing with the Affordable Care Act. Nobody read the bill, was 2,000 pages.
Yep.
And this one was
400
pages, and you're complaining about the Republicans bill. I'd say, come on,
Democrats could read that in a night.
Do they have a legitimate point? Yes, you do. However, you're being very hypocritical right now, because you did the same thing. You passed your bill on Christmas Eve when nobody was paying attention. So,
and by the way, ladies and gentlemen, this isn't Fox News.
No, it's not. No, no. I'm being critical of both sides here. They're both wrong on this side. I'm not taking a shot to one side or the other.
Absolutely.
This is both sides. That's the way I play it. But anyway, it's just, you know, anyways, that's what's going on the tax bill. So I don't know. Are there any implications for real estate and property management?
Oh, yeah.
And this tax bill, there got to be.
There's a lot from the standpoint of affordable housing, all right, because of the AMI, which they're looking at getting rid of it. They're looking at reducing the rates for corporations to 20%.
Mm-hmm.
20%, why would a business that is making $1 zillion want to invest in housing when they can put it back in their building, or they can give it in wages, all right? So that's 20% is going to take the low-income housing tax credits almost out of business.
Yeah, that's a great program, by the way.
The 9% is already permanent, but the 4%, the bonds, are still up in the air. We don't know where that's going to go. So there's pros and cons on both sides of the spectrum. I don't know where it's going to come out.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much verbiage and dialogue going back and forth that I don't think anybody has a significant idea as to where it's going. Everybody's fighting for their own position. So if you can satisfy whether or not it's going to be $1 trillion in debt, they talk about it's going to be $1 trillion in more debt. Well, if you reduce the taxes, isn't that theoretically it's going to go into the economy, and it's going to give you more income via
people
taxes?
People will spend more.
People will spend more.
Yeah.
Taxes will increase. The same thing
went on with
the Reagan increase.
Right.
And I hope one thing I do hope, if they do pass it, they make it beginning January 1st, 2018, not January 1st, 2019, because that's insanity. Reagan did the same thing, and he almost got blown out of the water for the first year. In the second year, when it was implemented, it showed the economy picked up, and it went to a 3.5% growth every year, All right, but in that first year, it went in the tank.
Yeah.
So if they have any guts, if they have any guts, they'll pass it. All right, effective January 1st, 2018. They don't. Our,
well, it,
look, bets
well it looks like something's going to happen. It looks like they're going to come to an agreement. Yeah. So it is. We're going to have to deal with it one way or the other.
Well, thank you, Jack, again, for coming into studio. He's bailing out on us right now. So
Merry Christmas, everybody. God bless. Bye-bye now.
We'll be right back right after this. You're listening to Iram Today.
Now back to Iram Today, the property management show with your hosts, Dina Cimarelli and Chrissy Denalian on AM 790, your station for talk and business.
All right, it is 4:49 here on Iram Today, the property management show. I'm Chrissy Denalian, along with my wonderful guest co-host, Jason Martins. Welcome back.
Yeah. Happy to be here. Thank you. Thank you for
having
me.
I'm happy to have you.
Happy to have the mic on. Thank you.
So I know you're talking. I mean, Jack bailed on us over here talking about everything, but he had left. And I know that there's been some talk in the news about possible snow showers this weekend, which kind of makes me very upset.
I thought you can't say four-letter words on the radio. You just said a four-letter word on the radio.
The snow is terrible. Oh. It's what probably property managers probably stress out about the most. I know I have anxiety about it when I see it in the weather forecast, knowing that everything needs to be cleared. We got to get lots cleared. We got to make sure we have everything prepared. Mm-hmm. The Property Management Insider had a nice little article through the actual IRAM website, IRAM.org website, about how to prepare for winter. So I just want to share a couple of things from their article. And one was just performing preventative maintenance checks. I know that we usually do like preventative maintenance biannually, just checking their actual apartments to make sure everything's okay and making sure that there's no leaks, or even just property inspections every month to make sure there are no gutter problems or anything. Because if you get heavy snow, it's always an issue if a gutter falls down, a tree falls down, just with your regular checks. What about you?
Yeah, if you even the small guy, if you got a couple of small rental properties, you're just a guy who's got or gal who's got some rental property. By now you should have had your gutters checked or cleaned if they're necessary, because that's great preventative maintenance. That way you can prevent those ice dams from happening. But on top of that, you know, get yourself ready with ice melt or salt or whatever you're using, or sand to clear your walkways. Get a bucket, get it on the site, get whatever material you're using, and prepare it so that, you know, when the snow comes, you're not starting having to dig yourself out and rushing and trying to, hopefully you can grab, you know, find the materials. Get it ready now. Get your stuff prepared. Get yourself in order. If you keep it at the site, or you keep it in your garage, or whatever you might do, just make sure you're prepared now. It doesn't take too long to get yourself ready.
Yep. You should be making sure that anybody at your site, if you have a larger property or even a smaller property, that you have those gloves and shovels and that your snow blower is tested. You have enough gas on site if it is a gas-powered one. You want to make sure that if you have a sander, a larger property having a sander, you want to make sure that that's fully stocked, ready to go, plow on the truck, everything prepared. I know that they also talked about some just making sure that your property is winterized. A lot of people forget about hoses outside, and they'll leave the water shut on. I mean, the water on. So you want to make sure that that's shut off, the hose is removed. You want to make sure that that's put in a warm spot, so that way that's not going to create cracks in the hose. There's just a lot of little tidbits that you wouldn't think about if you weren't probably in property management, but maybe as a homeowner you should also take the same precautions.
I can see where a lot of us, like, again, talking about the small guys, I can see where they, if you're you're going to get stressed out over snowfall, coming snow.
Definitely.
So, but you know, it's a lot less stressful if you take those steps early on to prepare yourself for the snow. You know, you've got your shovel, you've got your gloves, maybe you've got a plow company you've hired. And if you're going to do that, make sure that you get a copy of their insurance and that you're named on the insurance as additionally insured. That's very, very important, because if anything happens, you know, you want to make sure that you're covered. And you've got your ice melt, like we talked about, the bucket. You've already done your gutter cleaning. If you haven't done it yet, try to schedule someone as soon as possible to check and clean your gutters if necessary. There's plenty of companies out there that do that. Maybe you can find a local handyman that can do
right.
it. Just go on TripAdvisor. Not TripAdvisor. Oh, my gosh. I'm already thinking about vacation. No, go on like a HomeAdvisor or something yeah. like that. Or you know, maybe network with some other people who own property and see who they use. So,
actually,
if you prepare yourself, your anxiety and your stress will be a lot less if you prepared.
When we had ARS on the radio, they gave a great tip. They mm-hmm. said to use old pantyhose and put ice melt in the pantyhose and put those in the gutter if you've had ice dams in the past and it's become an issue. So he was suggesting if you put those in the gutters, it will cut down on ice building up and then having leaks inside of your house.
I got to pick up pantyhose. I got to touch
pantyhose.
Yeah,
you got to get some pantyhose.
Oh, geez, Louise. I just got to remember to put, yeah, right.
Put the ice melt in them. We didn't tell you to wear them.
That's interesting. Okay, yeah. No, that's a great tip, actually. Yeah.
I thought it was an interesting tip. I mean, mm-hmm. I've never heard of that before, so I thought that was kind of unique.
Yeah. Make sure your walkways are clear at all times. What I like to do is, and I don't know if this works, and some people say it doesn't work, some people say it does, but what I like to do is before the snow falls, when I know it's coming, even before it accumulates on the ground, is to go ahead onto the walkways and go ahead and start putting that ice melt down or the sand down.
Some people like that. Some people don't.
Some people say, it doesn't do anything. Well, I think I've had success with it because when I go back afterwards, the ice comes off a lot easier, I find. And some people say it does, but hey, look, that...
I know.
Whatever floats your boat.
I worked at many different sites with different maintenance supervisors where one says, let's do it that way. And another mm-hmm. one says, no, what are you doing that? That's wasting the product. But it depends on your personal preference.
I've always found, and we do it at our sites, and I do it at my own sites, is that I always find that it's easier to take the ice off the snow that's accumulated afterwards. And your walks become much more clean and clear and wide, which is kind of what you look for. So anyway, that's been my experience, and that's all I'll continue to do.
Do you do snow removal at your property?
Some of it. I'm going to actually, I'm looking to hire some contractors this year, though.
Yeah.
Because I'm a little bit overwhelmed. I've bought a number of properties this year. And,
and now the wintertime, yeah, you're like, oh, no.
I think I've added 23 units this year, which is a lot more than I had last year.
Wow.
So I got to hire somebody now.
Right. That's tough. That's tough to do. I mean, yeah. I know, like, with my site, we usually help out all hands on deck mm-hmm. during snow removal because it's such a task mm-hmm. for everybody, not just our maintenance staff, to be responsible for. The office staff also takes a hand in that as well. And assisting even just being in the office and assisting fielding phone calls for residents with potential leaks, or if there's somebody that needs access to their car that's handicapped and they need assistance in clearing off their car or vehicle, all of that really does help.
Yeah. And you know what's the other thing I tell my tenants is when we talked about putting the bucket with ice melt at each property, and I tell the tenants, like, look, I can't be here all the time. Someone's not going to always be here when it's icy out. So please help me out here. When you come out, I'm putting the bucket, I'm supplying the material. Mm-hmm. Please, when you come out, if you see ice, please put it down. Don't be afraid. Just go ahead and lay it down because I can't always be here. So I need your help with this. And so far, tenants have been great with that stuff
great.
Over the years. So that's a great little tip, too, is ask your tenants to cooperate. And they'll understand that, you know, you're not going to be there 24/7. But they'll go ahead and just put some ice melt down for you. I've always had success with that, too. So. Yeah. Nice,
because some people do have like insurance liabilities about things because there's always slip and falls and everybody's kind of tiptoeing around it. But for you personally, you've had some success with.
Yeah, but if you tell the tenant, you know, you're lessening your liability a little bit, somewhat, I guess, if you're going ahead and telling the tenant and advising them that you need their help and that for them to go ahead and lay some ice melt down. Because if you didn't tell them, then they can say, oh, you never told me that. But
if
you told them or given them documentation that you've done that, then, you know, it's one thing.
We usually supply some paperwork to all the residents mm-hmm. prior to a snowstorm, just letting them know, like, this is our proper procedure. Normally what we do is we'll clear all the walkways and the roadway, and then we'll go and clear out the lots as far as behind each individual car.
Now, what's your policy on your tenants building snowmen on the property?
They can do it in the grass. Not in the lot. That's just going to get killed in the middle of the lot, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Are you going to decorate your house for Christmas or your properties?
Oh, it's already, please.
Yeah?
It's already, yes.
I'm thinking about hiring one of those companies that does it.
Oh, my gosh. I've been sparkled out all day. I was decorating wreaths today at work.
Oh, jeez.
We decorated 3 trees already at work. So,
all right. So we got the dinner tonight.
We do.
What else is going on with IRM?
We actually have the ARM track is coming up. The ARM. Yes.
Track. Yep.
That's going to be in January.
Accredited residential manager.
Yes. And I'm one. And so are you.
I sure am.
You're a CPM too.
That's right. Proud of it.
Yep. And that's going to be over at Cranberry Pond in Warwick.
When is that again?
That's in January 11th, 12th, 17th, 18th, 19th, and 22nd.
If anybody wants to be recognized as a professional, that's a good course to take. Get your accreditation.
And if they're just interested in it in general, they do have, I know that we just had, or is it this Thursday, was the, if you're interested in the, there's coffee hour for the ARM track. It's
That's
not
right.
on the website, but
yep.
you can call Karen. Karen is our association executive. Yep. And if you had questions about that, you can give her a call at 401-479-7734.
Yep.
And if you're interested in anything that we went over today, you can give her a call for that. I know that we kind of briefly touched on the ARM CPM.
The coffee hour is just like an informational session mm-hmm. to be able to get some info
yes.
on what it takes to become an ARM.
Yeah,
that's a great way for someone who's interested to go ahead and just ask those questions with non-committal kind of thing. That's great.
Right. And if you've missed any part of the program, you can subscribe to us on iTunes by searching for IRM Today, or you can listen to the podcast on our website, irmri.org. That'll do it for today.
Yeah.
That was fast. I don't even know what happened.
Is it over? The show's
almost,
over?
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, my gosh. We got
to maybe more with Jack Vance next week.
Yeah, we got to go to a dinner. Let's get going.
Yes. Thank you.
All right, Chrissy,
listening.
Thank you
yes.
for having me.
Thanks for coming.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This episode of IRM Today is brought to you by ARS Restoration, here when you need expert help with fire, flood, and water damage repair the most. To consult with ARS Restoration Specialists, please call 401-722-9595 or visit them online at arsserve.com.